Well, welcome, welcome. I'm glad you made it. Glad you survived Thanksgiving. We had a great time. Probably the greatest we've ever had as far as a good time. Let me give you some announcements and we'll have worship. Oh, by the way, we used this German hymn, Nun danke alle Gott, which is Now Thank We All Our God. We had a German girl with us from Germany, and she read the German for us. And we sang this together. There's some extra copies. I'll tell you what's interesting. You say, well, I don't know any German. What do I care? You take the translation, the English here, and go over here on the German side and say, oh, I know what that word means. That's the, and that's an, and now, and that's all. Hey, I know more German than you think. I challenge you to put the words. Oh, tremendous. And I said it before, I'll say it again. Martin Ringhardt was a preacher, and he was used mightily of God. He wrote this hymn. Probably the preacher had the most funerals ever. He had 4,400 in one time. They had a 30-year war in Europe, in Germany, and then they had famine and they had plague. And he just buried his wife and family. And after all that, he wrote this hymn. And it was so beautiful that the Germans, for many, many years, I don't think so now, when they would go to battle, when they have a victory, they would sing, Now Thank We All Our God, with heart and hands and voices. You say that's hard to believe, but they did. They knew it without any accompaniment. And it's one of the great hymns in our hymn book. And I invite you to read the words at least. Well, let's see. I want to welcome a couple this morning that are going to be parents. You know, that's always a delight to me when I have part in a marriage, that to hear that they're going to have children. And so Eric and Michelle Moser are expecting to have a baby in September, and we're delighted and nice to have them with us. I want to mention, the Lord willing, tonight we have on list a request time, which means you pick the hymns.
It's June, not September.
Oh. That's all the better, isn't it? June, they're expecting. So tonight at 7, all our evening services at 7, we have a request time. You pick the hymns, and after which Raymond Rook is planning to be here, and he's continuing his study in the book of Job. And I think he's doing a good job. Then on Wednesday at our 7 o'clock meeting, we have our Bible study. I want to continue the morning's verse. And I want to emphasize the hymnology that the verse speaks of, if you've already read it. And because singing has a way of adding, helping our memory and putting some impression in our minds and preserving the Word of God. So after which we have a compartmental prayer group. The men and the boys, they go in there, and the ladies and the girls stay here, and they have prayer together. That's basically announcement as we enter into a new month of December. And so with the announcements, let us now enter into worship. This morning I want us to emphasize from this passage what a normal church life is like, especially as it was in Colossae. So they had singing, they had to study the Word of God, and they honored the Lord. So let's sing about our Redeemer. It's number 681.
To say
Well, we said we'd sing of him. Let's sing him as the fairest Lord Jesus. It's 129. Fairest Lord Jesus. Speaking about the blooming garb of spring, Jesus is fair. We do have an idea that hymns or flowers enhance the worship of the service. We think that it reminds us of our Lord Jesus. And I don't mind admitting to you that finances are a little tight, and now they're charging $6 for flowers. And our recording secretary said, would you mind if I'd bring some houseplants? Not at all. They're beautiful, aren't they? So thank you, Peggy and Bob, for the flowers. We do give considerable amount of money to missions, and there are other expenses involved, and things are just a little tight. And so I appreciate that. The house plants this morning. Now, if the normal church life is one of singing and one of teaching the Word of God, according to this verse, then we ought to probably sing something about the Word of God. And so this hymn number 671 tells us that the Word is a lamp to my feet. 671.
Save me from sin.
I usually make a practice when I go up the highway to sing the Lord's Prayer. I don't know whether you do that. Can you find the little printout in the hymnal? Maybe it's not in your hymnal. You feel fine there's a printout. If it's, we got to do something about reprinting some of them. But it, you know the Lord's Prayer well enough to even sing it without those printouts. And I think it's good not only to pray it, but to also prayerfully sing it. And I'd like us to, can't you find it either, brother? Hey, we're not very organized at this point, are we? Yeah. We'll get organized. But, all right, we don't really need to, those of us, Bob needs it to play, and we can sing this. And sing it with prayerfully, will you with me, please? Precede this, the preaching of the Word of God is asking the Lord to break the bread of life, and that is the presence of the Lord, His Word. That's number 256, break thou the bread of life. That is the Word of God as we study together.
Great flow of peace, I could see.
And with the singing of that hymn, let's turn to Colossians, the third chapter, as we're studying through this book. And this morning we come to a passage which I think is tremendous in that it describes for me at that early church in Colossae that it was their custom to do certain things. And in this third chapter of Colossians, in verse 16, we find that they performed or they practiced these matters. And I thought we might just kick a few tires this morning and preliminary. And where the Apostle Paul, writing by the Spirit of God to encourage that church, he is saying to them, I think collectively, corporately, but it implies personally, where he said to them, let the word of Christ, isn't that beautiful? The word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, why do you suppose he said to them, look, folk, I want you to take the word of God, that is the word of Christ, that I believe is the whole embodiment of the word of the Lord. And he said, I'd like you to stick by that rather than that which is hammering on you. And that was some different. There were some people saying, well, you know, it's good that you have the word of God. That's fine. But you need to look at other matters, philosophies. You need to consider possibly the matter of some ordinances of men. You folk ought to still practice some of those Old Testament procedures, ceremonial acts like circumcision and so forth. And they were saying, so Paul said, now listen, by the Spirit of God, this is what you do. It's the word of Christ. Let that dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, it's beautiful. I was talking to the little German late girl, and I said, now, do I understand you still do in schools in Germany that you don't give these quickie tests like we do here in the States, and that you just give a couple exams, and the basic one is at the end of the semester that covers a whole semester, and if you know what you're talking about, you pass. If you don't, you flunk. And she said, yeah, it's still that way. Because in America, and having been a school teacher for 17 years, I want to tell you something. You can cram. Say, we're going to have a quiz on Monday on chapter 2 or so and so and so. I just take that chapter and I just beat it in my head and it just is a zing, zing, zing. And so I go and take my test and I do quite well. Ask me about that about 2 weeks later. What? Ask me about that chapter 2 weeks later. See, I crammed. This says, let the word of God indwell you, make residence in you. So it's part of your life. It's one thing to say, well, I studied this. It's like reading the Bible. Some people, and I think it's great, and you should read the Bible every day. Really, you should, because this passage says so, not me. And some people read the Bible every year, and I think that's good. But listen, if you just read the Bible, and it doesn't come like verse 16, that you read the Bible, but has it as the word here dwell in you. That is in the innermost part of us. Woo-wee. You can get your A's and your B's. But that's not if you don't let it dwell and make residence in you. Let the word of Christ make residence. That's what the word dwell means, to make residence. Not just, you know, when somebody makes residence with you. You have guests and so forth, and, you know, they're just for a little while they're there. But a resident is one who is the whole house, has opened to everything. And the word of God and the whole realm. I'm right at home. Are you at home with the word of Christ? Is it just a Sunday morning preacher preaches on the word of God? I heard a Bible Sunday school class teaching a study. But you see, it's external. You hear the vibrations are gone out of my voice, and it's you're hearing that, you're hearing the word of God. You say, yeah, I hear that. But that which has to be external, but then it has to be internal. You say, well, I know that. Good. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, and here, word, and here. So you know it. But are you practicing it? And this is what the word of God said to the early church. By the Spirit of God, he said, a normal church life is? There's the preaching of the Word of God, and they take the Word of God that you hear externally. If you have ears, let you hear, the Bible says, and I partake of it so it becomes down into my heart, the innermost being of me. But it doesn't stop there, because this verse says more. It says, let in you richly. And that is means to overflow. Much nice to have plenty you can share with other people, isn't it? An overflowing, had a good crop, had a good garden, so you share with other people. And so this, I receive the Word of God. It's become so much in me that it just, it's with, that which is within must come out, and I'm just overflowing with the Word of God. Wow. Is that what normal church life was like back then in Colossae? He said, yes. He said, that's good. That's what church life's all about. You don't just come to get your A's and your B's, but you come to take it all in. That the Spirit of God, we ask the Spirit of God and sing in the last hymn that He would fill us and guide us and control us, and that we might get enough of the Word of God so that we say, I got it, I understand that, and so that says, that's fine. Is it going to overflow this week at all, or are you just going to keep it in for yourself and be selfish? No, I would that the Word of God would be so that I could overflow and talk to others about it, especially Christ, as it says in verse 16. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Isn't it something? We can talk about a lot of things. But how much do we talk about Christ? Now, this early church, apparently, they did talk a lot about the Lord Jesus. You say, well, I don't know where I get up all the... How do I get overflowing with about the Lord Jesus? We went through chapter 1, and that's Christology. It's just full, packed full about the Lord Jesus. What? Chapter 1 of what? Colossians. You say, I don't know how to talk about the Lord. Go over that passage, chapter 1, and study it so it becomes internally in you, and it talks about the Lord Jesus and how He sustains us and keeps us and how He saves us and how He's loved us and so forth, and say, this is terrific about Christ. And I want to tell folk about it and say, that's just what they did at Colossae. He said, you keep doing that. Don't let these other philosophers and these ideas that they have. You know, it's funny how religion is. Biblical religion is, here it is, it's in the Bible. But worldly religion says, I take everything in the world first. Fundamental preachers do this a lot of times. They take all the things of the world first, and then they go for, where's there a passage that I could use for that passage? There's the Antichrist, and maybe you see if I, no. Just take this as it is. Don't try to go to the world for everything. Now, illustrations are like windows. They open up, have you see things. And I use illustrations, but because it's like open a window up so you can see some things. I make no apology about it. But I just know this, that if something's precious to you, you're going to show it. If you have a, what might I call it, something that is of very value to you. Let's suppose you have a dresser. Suppose it's a great-great-grandmother's dresser. And you take care of it. And when the occasion comes around, you say, oh, I've got to show you this. And you say, oh, that's very nice. That is really nice. Oh, but she's, just look, the dovetail. Look, it's all handmade. It came from Germany, and they brought it over. This is my great-great-grandmother's, and she passed it down to me. And it's a heritage, I guess you would call it, wouldn't you, ladies? And say, this is so beautiful. And the Word of God is saying, that's what we ought to be concerned about and loving. This is the precious Word of God. It's more precious than jewels, the Bible says. It's even sweeter than the honey in the honeycomb. It's that which will save us. It'll last for eternity. Oh, I can read a novel like you can, but I don't. But you read a novel, pretty soon, oh, touch my heart. It's really something. Let me ask you something. How's that going to help you in eternity? I can sob at a TV show, can't I? But we don't really get, we want to get excited about the Word of God. That it's so precious to me. And I need more of it. The early church did. Normal church life was the Word of Christ. They richly, it dwelled in them till it overflowed. That's what normal church life's about. Now I gotta tell you this. They met together. I do know that. This church at Colossae. I believe it was a house church too. And they had the Word of God. It's what it says there, verse 16. And they had a lot of the Word of God. No 15-minute message. And it goes down here and says, not only was it just nice teaching, but there was wisdom, how to be wise, and there's teaching there and admonishing one another. You see, admonishing. You bet. I don't know how it is with you, but I don't think that we got all the secrets of living in this life. I don't think that we're all correct. I don't think you're all correct. You're not perfect, nor am I. And we come to the Word of God, God says, this is the way it's supposed to be, sir, dear lady, dear child. Say, yeah, well, it's... I see that. Well, that's what I want. I command you. And so the preacher gets up and he gets on that verse and he gets on it. You know, some people don't understand preaching. They say, you know, I don't think he has a right to say those things. No, sir, I really don't think he had a right to say that this morning. I don't know who he thinks he is. But the calling is teaching and admonishing. Now, if you know me, I do love you. One guy said, I don't know if you really do or not, the way it sounds. Well, I'm sorry, he doesn't understand what preaching's all about. I am to get it, I have orders from my boss, you have orders from your boss, and I have to do what he says. He said, preach the Word of God. Exhort with longsuffering. Give it. Say, well, they won't like it. I'm telling you to do it. Yes, sir, I will. And so you preach it as it is the Word of God, and God is saying it, and you give it forth, and you say, okay, now, after it's all through, I hope it'll take residence in your life, in my life too, and we'll get together, and we'll have fellowship together, and we'll talk and be friends together. But in the pulpit, it's one thing to preach, and another thing is to have fellowship afterwards. Some people don't see that, but it's true. That's what it's all about. Well, anyway, let the Word of Christ, that is the whole Word of God, especially those precious things about our Lord, His coming, and, oh, man, and living here and showing that He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh, and He took our sins on the cross of Calvary, and He was buried, and third day rose again. And then He ascended into heaven and sits at the place of authority in heaven. He's praying for us, making intercession for us. He's preparing a mansion for us, and He's coming back. He's coming back, and there'll be the resurrection of those who are dead and those of us who are alive, and there'll be a judgment. And then there'll be consignment into eternal bliss or into eternal fire. Oh, really? Yes. And then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll be living on this. It won't be like this. It'll be all new. That's interesting. Yes, it is. And so I want you to see that they devoted themselves. Do you really mean it? Yes, they devoted themselves. How did they devote it? They said, let it, let the Word of Christ dwell, make residence into you very richly so it's overflowing. Be devoted to that. You know, you can get sidetracked in this world. Now, if you're in a business, you got to take care of business. You got to know what you're doing, and you've got to, you know, the new thing comes out and make it easier for you and so forth. You got to study. But the Word of God is saying that the eternal matters have to be dealt with too. And you don't let these other things crowd out. the eternal matters. You've got to be devoted to it. You know, I like that one man used to say, and he used to come here, and he's not here anymore. He said, I believe this. I believe every time the door's open, I ought to be here. I said, yeah, that sounds good. And he says, I need to get the Word of God. And I said, yeah, that's true. I believe that. And he says, I don't need to go to run around to convention conferences because, he said, there's enough here in this church that it'll be ramming all over the place. He said, to get the truth. I said, yeah, that's good. You know what? If the Word of God is given, you need to get here whenever you can. I know about weather. I know about sickness. I've been sick. I know what it all about. I know there are providentially times you can't give, but if this verse is so of a normal Christian life, then I do want to say this to you kindly, lovingly, but as a pastor, get all the Word of God you can get and don't let other things distract you because you're going to need it down the road. God gives you years, you're going to find that there'll be some circumstances that you wish you would have paid attention and that this would have taken residence in your life. Well, not only that, they must have an exciting time in verse 16. Because when they're singing, a couple of different things in their services. And they sang the psalms, and they sang hymns, and they sang spiritual songs. And it was grace with grace to the Lord, not to have you hear me go, whoa, but to sing grace unto the Lord. I do it as unto the Lord, not a performance. Church is not to be an entertainment place. It is, and you sing with grace unto the Lord. That's right. I do it as unto the Lord. It's one thing. We're all different as far as the ability of singing. You say you're all over the place. No, I'm on verse 16. But now our brother, he mechanically he can work this machine. I can't. But he doesn't know everything. He doesn't know about conducting altogether, and he doesn't know exactly how the conductor wants it. So we sometimes have to say, do this and do that. And some of us have studied different parts, different things. We're all different. Some of you are altos, some of you are bass, and we need each other. Now let's sing it with grace to God. Blessed thankfulness to the Lord is what the word grace means. Thankfulness unto the Lord. Say, well, I can't sing. You can't sing? Ha, bet you can. Say, well, I don't. Do it anyway. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And if it doesn't, you're singing unto the Lord. I'm singing unto the preacher, the person next to me. I'm singing as unto the Lord. He gave me this voice. This is what I use. And we can learn from one another. I need you. You need me. We need him. Although I do think the best musical instrument is right here, in spirit and in truth. Because some of these things, they can cloud out the Word of God. You don't mean that. Oh, yeah. Let's get the drums over here, can we, brethren? Get the drums over here. And let's get these hoopty-doopty things. Let's put them right in here. Let's get this thing wound up a little bit. Now let's sing to the Lord. Let's say, woody bang, 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 bang. And say, hey, it's just so loud. It drowns out the Word of God. Don't you like drums? I like drums. Well, then what are you talking about? We don't want it to drown out. We don't want this thing to drown out the Word of God. We don't want the drums and all the things that go with it. I like music. But when some of these contemporary music, it just drowns out the Word of God. Like a man says, we don't put it on our World Wide Web music in our church. Actually told us. He's the music director. So why don't you put it on it? He said people wouldn't understand it. You know why you wouldn't understand it? They got all this jazz band going on. And you don't hear any words. They sang with understanding. You say, well, that's one verse. Do you have another verse somewhere? Yeah, I'm just going by thought here. You go back a few books to Ephesians. Just go back a few. And I think it's in the 5th chapter. Not very far, just back to the ways, to Ephesians. And look for the 5th chapter. I think it's in there. Yes, it is. That's where it is. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about normal church life. We're talking about the Word of God and the Word of God to be soaked in and a lot of it given so that it overflows in our daily walk. Yeah, fine. And what else? that there be admonishing one another and having teach you how to be wise, but also that there be rejoicing in the singing of the praise of God, grace unto the Lord, and thankfulness unto the Lord. Now, in Ephesians 5, it tells a little bit about that. Look at verse 18. It says, don't be drunk with wine. Where is an excess? That means intoxication. That means the idea of to be poisoned. Is that what the word means? Excess means a poison. But he said, be filled with the Spirit. That means the Spirit of God. To be controlled by the Spirit of God. And the very next thing, verse 19, talks about our singing. I said, I'm just going to kick some tires this morning. I want to get into this a little more. But we're to speak to yourselves in psalms. That's the psalms. You have the book of psalms. And hymns. And that's the word God. And spiritual songs is the testimony. And we're supposed to what? We're singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And it's supposed to be, you know, you can understand it. Oh, by the way, I did want to try to get in context. I worry sometimes that we take a verse and say, well, what does that have to do with the rest of the book? I want to know about this blessed book. And so from time to time, we got to go over and say, now, wait a minute. What have we studied in this third chapter? We had a bird's eye view of it. That's fine. And now you're going verse by verse. Yes, but what have we touched upon? How does it all come together like a chain? And you say, well, if it doesn't all come together and just have verses like verse 16, you know, it says in the first part of chapter 3, verse 1, and I want to go over it. It's important that you get it all together contextually. He started out by telling the church at Colossae and us that if you be risen with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are above. That's a command. That's an imperative sense. I am to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God the Father. And then it goes on down to verse 2. It says, and he's by the Spirit of God, a command of God, that we're to set your affections on things above and not things of the earth. You know, this old earth, the things that we have is going to be consumed by fire. And we put all of our time and interest in the things of the earth. But the word God is saying to us, this is God's word, it's inspired of God. God is saying to us, set your affections or your affection on the things of above, not on the things of earth. Well, now we got to live, don't we? Yeah, we got to live. Sure we do. But if we have food and raiment, let us therewith be content, the word of God says. Well, I'm not content unless I have a new car. I'm not content unless I have a new house. I'm not content I have to all this that, you know, they advertise. Well, okay. All right. You have to set it with the Lord. The Lord commanded me that I'm setting my affection on things above and not on things on earth. And so we have to have necessities. I'm not saying that. You got to get up in the morning and go to work. But it goes on down there. It says, now, the Lord's coming. We know that. And it says in verse 5, but there were some things we're supposed to get rid of, like old clothes, verse 5, chapter 3. What am I supposed to get rid of? I'm supposed to kill. That's the word mortify. You know what that word means, mortician. Mortify those there are your members which are upon the earth. What, like? Oh, sexual things. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now, I'm sorry. A lot of people say, well, I'm a Christian. Great. Love to hear somebody say that. But when it comes to these things like verse 5, well, maybe not following it too closely. But I know the Lord. Well, the Word of God commands us in the imperative sense that you're supposed to kill some things. You can run around and say you know the Lord. That's fine. Love to hear it. But you know, your life's supposed to show that you're not doing the things like verse 5. These are old things, the old nature. We're to mortify those things on earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness. He says it's in dog. You kill all those things. What, God? Kill them! Oh! Yeah, because my wrath will come on such, on the children of disobedience. And he said also that amongst each other in church, normal church life, he said, now you ought to put off verse 8. Let's get it contextually. Verse 7 said, you used to do that, didn't you? Yeah. You don't do it anymore. That's the way you used to live? Yeah. You received a new nature, a new creature in Christ. Old things have become new. All things become new. Old things have passed away. Say, yeah, that's right. Okay, now how about all these matters in verse 8? Let's get it contextually. I'm telling you, God is saying, that you also put off all these things. You put off anger, and you put off wrath and malice and blasphemy, and filthy and communication out of your mouth, and lie not one to another. Woo-hoo. And it goes on, and it says, and seeing that you put off the old man, which is deed, you took off all those old things. You'd be working at it. Then you put on a new man, verse 10. That's a new nature. You say you're a Christian, then you have a new nature. You've been born again. You've been put on. And he says, now, take off. You've taken off the anger. Yep. Take that old garment off. Some of us have hot tempers. Say, I can't help it. It's my Irish in me. It's my German in me. I can't help it. Yes, you can. By the Spirit of God, we can do all things through Christ who helpeth us. And say, well, all right, I need some help there, don't I? Yeah, that's why we need to have correction. That's why we need the Word of God. We need to be admonished like I'm doing this morning. And this matter of wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication, you know, that's so common, filthy communication. You know, I'm going to deviate here. You know, God's made us spirit, soul, and body. Yeah? Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and give me a body. Yeah, that's right. And the Lord has arranged so that we don't need to spend time with pornography and filthy stuff to get a thrill out of things. The Lord has arranged us unless there's special situations where people remain single. But normally you have a married partner. And I want to say this. There's where you need to put your emphasis. Not trying to seek it somewhere else. And now you can't help but looking. I understand that, but so do you. But it's basically good home cooking is worth it all. And the Bible teaches that. And you fellows need to understand that. And you gals need to understand that. And the Bible teaches us. And so if you're not obeying the Word of God, the Scripture says your body doesn't belong to you, it belongs to your husband. And it's vice versa. And so I think we need to be understanding about some of these. I think Christians get the idea, well, you know, I'm a feminist and I do what they tell me to do. I have my own body and I don't have to listen. You got to listen to God. Some of you probably could have some pastoral counsel again on marriage. All of us. Think you've arrived? You haven't. All of us. Well, what's that have to do with anything? I'm just said in passing by that matter of filthy communications, and I just passed by that and put on there. But listen, Christ is all in all. You see, you're a new man. You say, oh, I'm a Greek. I'm not a Jew. Circumcision, Jewish or Gentile, barbarian, Scythian. But Christ is all in all. It's so strange how we get the idea that if I am this, then I am great. Had a little young girl say to me, I have a Jewish name. So that's wonderful. Not only my first name, but my last name is Jewish. I said, but you know, that's wonderful, but the Bible says, listen, we don't go begging or we don't go bragging on who we are and what kind of blood going through us. It's Christ is all in all. And therefore, he says in verse 12, you know Christ is all. Verse 11, he's all in all. But put on therefore as elect of God. If we're the elect of God. You want to talk about Israel? Let's talk about true Israel, the elect of God. And you're to be holy, separated out unto God and beloved. and bowels of mercy and compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. You say, well, hold on a minute. That's right. That there needs to be kindness. We have some changing to do. Hearts of mercy, humbleness, meekness, long-suffering. And then I like this verse 13. You got to put up with me, and I got to put up with you about some things. Forbearing one another. Boy, we can use some forbearance. If it's my way or the highway, and, you know, there's that attitude. I know I have the right answer. Sometimes we have to grin and bear it. And there's a matter of forgiving. I had a man out by the barn one day, and he said, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Oh, man. And he was talking about a young man. Hey, that's not forgiveness. You forgive and you forget, as if it never happened. You and I have a hassle together about something, and we get together and say, I'm sorry, and you say, you're sorry. Let's be brethren. Don't ever bring it up again. Don't ever push it in my face. Hey, remember when you did that? Oh, no. That's not what that's saying there in verse 13. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west. As the Lord says, that's the way. Even as, listen, read the rest of the verse. Verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, how did he forgive you? Is it eternal? Is it real? So also do ye. I mean, it's over. It's water over the dam. See, why does a normal church have to talk about these things? That's the way church life is. That's what it is. Yes. And then we had the privilege, didn't we? About letting put on love, charity, verse 14. That's the belt of perfectness. Love, Christ's love, sacrificial love, the love that God is, verse 14. And then to have that peace which God gives, peace of God, verse 15, that passes all understanding, have that in your hearts. And he said, as a body, you're one body in the Lord, talking about a church. And then that verse, be thankful, thankfulness. All right. Let's go back to verse 16. I wanted you to get it contextually about the word of Christ. Because if you don't get it contextually, then you say, well, I don't know what it's all about. Let's look at a few other things. As we've talked about these different areas, having the Word of God in us, residing in us, and now it comes the matter of teaching. There is normal church life, verse 16, it says to be wise, or have the Word of God and have abundance of it, so you might be wise. The word wisdom has to do with being wise. Now, the matter of teaching and admonishing one another, and I think that you understand that in the Greek text, do you know this? That in the Greek text, there's no punctuations. You say, well, where'd these come from? Men translators put these in. They said, we ought to probably put a comma here. And we probably ought to put a period here. It's good. But in the original Greek, there's no commas. There's no punctuation whatsoever. So I think dividing this up like they did, they may have give the impression it isn't all there as it is in the original. But anyway, I want to emphasize this matter that we need to teach and admonish one another to teach. Teach first all wisdom, and then the matter of the Word of God, how precious it is. You know, you need to teach because you have to make decisions in life, spiritual decisions. Sure we do. We just read about putting off the old and putting on the new. We got to make some decisions. You know, you make a decision, say, in a hurry, and you don't have time to make a bite to eat, ladies, and say, well, if we're going down a road, we might as well get something to eat. Where are we going to stop? And say, well, I think we ought to stop by McDonald's and the drive-in windows. And, oh, I like Burger King. Well, You have to make a decision. We're going to stop at Burger King or McDonald's. And the Word of God is saying that we need to teach the Word of God so that we can make wise decisions. And that's good. That's why the Word of God needs to be taught. And then we need to, the matter admonish, that is, to change. The idea is to change a person, is to correct, so they may be able to judge correctly. You know, it's just, you know, if you've never had to throw it up in your face, judge not, lest thou be judged. Don't you know that's what the Bible says? Have you had anybody throw it in your face? He said, dear person, I understand that. Would you read the rest of the chapter? And it tells you to judge righteously. And how am I going to learn how to judge righteously if I don't know the Word of God? If I know the Word of God and I take opportunity to get in all I can get in, and then it starts to overflow, and I understand, well, now I understand that passage. I know why you're saying I shouldn't judge, but the Bible is just full of judgment. But we got to do it right. Oh, is that right? So there is the matter of the normal church is that they, normal church life, there's teaching and admonishing one another. I like this matter of the hymns singing. I'm just going to say a few words about that and get into it later, because there's so much there. A normal church life, verse 16, it says that they not only teach and admonish one another, but there is the psalms and there's the hymns and the spiritual songs. And they're singing with grace, or that is thankfulness. The word grace is gratitude in your hearts to the Lord. Now, what's the difference between psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Why does it put it that way? Just sing the songs. Why are you worrying about all the different distinctions, God? God said there is a distinction. The matter of the psalms, the book of psalms. And it says you can pledge your eyes all you want to. Yeah, just sing them. I don't care, God said. Sing the psalms. We sing the psalms here. We don't always say it, but if you look in a hymn book, it says psalm so-and-so to upper left-hand side, and we sing the psalms. And the Word of God says, sing the psalms. But it also says, sing something else. And that is what? It says you're supposed to also sing hymns. Now, hymns, that's praising God. I suppose the ones that I can think of, how great thou art, O Lord thy God. Singing how great God is. I don't care if you understand anything I'm singing. I'm singing about God. This hymn is about how great God is, and I'm singing as with gratitude to God. And if I get a little loud, so be it. I'm singing to my God. And if I get off key, well, I don't have perfect pitch. And you won't get perfect pitch on that machine either. So I'm on a perfect pitch. And so, okay, that's singing on the hymns is, think of him, God, just praising, just honoring the Lord. How great you are, God. You're such a wonderful God. He said, the normal church life, they sang about God, how good he was. Well, what's this spiritual songs have to do then? Well, that's kind of like a testimony, you know. I get up and sing, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's spiritual songs. That's testimonies. And they're good. I'm singing to you. I sing to you, and you sing to me, back and forth. And you say, you know, that's just great. We have a wonderful friend in Jesus. And I sing it to you, sing it to me. Everybody sing it together. Normal church life. But remember, the bottom line is, verse 16, that let there be the singing with gratitude in your hearts. Not for the preacher, not for showmanship, but to the Lord. Well, I think that this morning I'll just let it there, because I want to tell you something. If you don't think about much about singing and you say you know the Lord, I got news for you. There's going to be abundance of singing in heaven. You might as well do some practicing now. Yes, we're going to be singing in heaven. You might as well learn to do some practicing now. And put it in gear. I tell you, it's so necessary. We see that the early church, how they did it, and we can take lessons from the early church, being grateful to the Lord. You know, I want to say this. Eric said to me, he said, Pappy, he said, do you have some recordings? He said that he drives a big truck. He said, I can have a CD player. And he said, I don't have any CDs to play. He said, you got anything you can give me to play? Hey, there's a lot of CDs. You just ask that lady there. She'll help you. A lot of CDs, a lot of cassettes. And you know what? You can have almost all day. You say, you're being fanatical. All right, if I'm a fanatic, let's go to a Penn State football game. And if you sit there like this, somebody's going to hit you in the head and say, what's the matter with you? Can't you see how great this is to have a team like this playing? And they yell and shout and scream and carry on and go wild. You say, well, that's all right. But if I get a little excited about things of God, I say, well, no, we don't act crazy now, do we? All to be excited. Not the charismatic excitement. Not showmanship, but to be excited, so filled with God and the Word of Christ, and just get excited about it. See, this is wonderful. I want to tell you more about the Lord Jesus. And I just know this. There are some things that will keep you away from carrying out verse 16. You can get sidetracked and say, I'm not too interested. You know why you're not interested? There's sin in your life, or else you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I don't see that, verse 16. You may be you don't know the Lord. Because that's normal Christian life, normal Christian church life. I hope you see. You know, when talking about the Word of God, I want to say something more. You know, you say, well, I don't understand. Why should I get excited about old David? I mean, he screwed up a lot of things. Made mistakes. But then I read about David and says, a man after God's heart. You never screwed up, did you? He confessed to the Lord. He got forgiveness. He acknowledged his sins. He was in terrible shape. You say, well, what can I learn from David? You can read the Word of God so that David's life is so much part of, I understand that man. I know what he went through. It's part of my life. Old Noah. And the Word of God, as you become acquainted with it and read these characters, Martha and Mary and so forth, say, I know these ladies. I've studied about them. And that's what the Word of God is. Some of us can say, I can't get interested in the Word of God. Well, you won't stay there long enough for one thing, because I've got to go ramming around. I got things to do, places to go. But if you discipline yourself and say, I do want to get this. I do want to understand it. Then avail yourself to opportunities of hearing the Word of God, and like using the CDs and hear preaching and so forth, so that it becomes part of you. And like expected from the pulpit and from our singing that we're going to get verse 16. Where's there a hymn for us? Yes, there's another hymn, and it's hymn number 6267. 267. O Word of God incarnate, that's speaking about the Word of Christ. He's the Word. He's the living Word. O Wisdom from on high. 267. We know that. We pray. Let's pray. Help us, Father, to see the words of Christ, the word of God, that we need to have it and take it in so abundantly that there's an overflow. Help us to see that we have need for correction and instruction in righteousness. Help us to see we need to talk about the Lord Jesus more and more. And then, may our Father, we pray that in our services as a church, that we might sing in such a way that we'll sing it as unto you, and thankfulness, and that we may sing those precious psalms, that we sing hymns of praising you directly, as unto you vertically, and then horizontally, those spiritual songs of testimony, what you've done for us. Bless us as a church. Bless us individually. May we know Christ as our Savior. May we live for him. And now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or mature in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. And as it is our custom to inquire whether you have something you'd like to add or a question, if you have something you'd like to offer in light of the subject this morning of a normal church life. Yes.
Now, if I come at you from the point of contemporary Christian music,
yes,
I would say we got the Psalms covered and we got the hymns covered. Now it says I can sing spiritual songs.
Yes.
And not that I think that, as you can say about the orchestration.
Yes.
Some contemporary Christian music, I think there is a message, and that people can be touched by some of it. Now, I've also seen a program where a minister came on there and he warned against getting wrapped up in that it takes on a life of its own. And I think that should be the way you want to watch out.
Okay. Now, he's supposed to know that in music, there's that which can be carnal that appeals. For instance, we were listening to a hymn or a song, and it had a pretty strong beat. And someone said, that's bass beat, that has to do with sex. Well, yeah. If you study music, you know there is carnal. And so when you bring that into the house of God, say, we don't need any more of that. Where it just get us to emotionally. However, I think that there is times that if somebody, you know, doesn't know all this, you know, you don't ram it down the throat. I guess I did this morning, but hey, we need to put up with, forbear one another. If somebody, you know, if I hear contemporary music, I try to get a blessing out of it. Don't think I'm shut it off. But it bothers me when it has that carnal beat to it. Rock has that beat. I don't care. You can ask some of the rock people. It definitely has a beat to it. And that beat is towards, it hammers right down in the bass aspect, the carnal aspect of a person's life. I don't know if he agrees with that or not, but as from my study of it, it's so. And we have to be careful of that. And to portray Jesus as some kind of lover, you know, there's a place of the love of Christ. I'm not minimizing that, and I'm all for it. But you treat it like a love song. Do you know what a love song is? And I think love songs have their place. I'm not down on that. But to bring the love songs and sing like you would, like a contemporary love songs to somebody, and use that for the Lord Jesus, I think it has a carnal background to it. We probably ought to get into more of that. But here again, I got to tell you that there's areas that when that does come forth, you look for a blessing in spite of it. You know what I mean? Be a little bit open to it. Does that sound like compromise?
I think one way to prove your point is if you watch television where they have a show going on with music and they're showing the people at the same time. If you watch the actions of the people, it'll show the effects of the music.
Yeah, it affect you.
Yeah. Well, them bass, I love them bass notes.
I like bass too. Really. But I don't think we ought to have it hammered in our church service. I remember I had part in a service down at Muncie at the cemetery. And I saw this sweet little thing. She was a pretty little thing. And they sang. What was that song, that national song? God Bless. And she was going like this and so forth. And so on. Sweet little thing. I thought, oh, come on, honey. It's a little bit out of place here. She was showing off how she could shake it, playing God Bless America. It was something like that. The mother, she thought that was so cute, you know. But anyway, I may be a little critical. I love little gals and little boys, but I think we need to have some discernment on it, brother. I think the church has lost it, for the most part. Because one service will be for the old people, and the next verse will be contemporary. And the 9 o'clock will be for the older, and the 10 o'clock will be for contemporary. It's causing a real struggle in the church today. I don't mean to minimize it. It's causing a real problem. So maybe we ought to camp here a little bit and see if we can decipher some things out on it. Yes. Anything else?
The scripture says, they that worship, worship in the realm of spirit and in truth.
Yes.
And I think if you're a believer, you know when it's the spirit of God, and you also know when it's the flesh.
I hope. Yeah. Well, anything else? Well, blessings be on you all. Amen.